Good day, and welcome to the Genco Solar third quarter 2017 earnings conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Sebastian Liu. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, operator. Thank you everyone for joining us today for Genco Solar's third quarter 2017 earnings conference call. The company's results were released earlier today and available on the company's IR website at www.gencosolar.com, as well as on the Newswire services. We have also provided a supplemental presentation for today's earnings call, which can also be found on our website. On the call today from Genco Solar are Mr. Chen Kangping, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Cao Haiyun, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Gener Miao, VP Global Sales, and Mr. Sebastian Liu, IR Director. Mr. Chen will discuss Genco Solar's business operations and company's highlights, followed by Gener Miao, who will talk about the sales and marketing, and then Mr. Cao, who will go through the financials. They will all be available to answer your questions during the Q&A session that follows. Please note that today's discussion will contain forward-looking statements made under the safe harbor provision of the U.S. Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve inherent risks and uncertainties. As such, our future results may be materially different from the views expressed today. Further information regarding this and other risks is included in Genco Solar's public filing with the Securities and Exchange Commission. Genco Solar does not assume any obligation to update any forward-looking statements except as required under applicable law. It is now my pleasure to introduce Mr. Chen Kangping, CEO of Genco Solar. Mr. Chen will speak in Mandarin, and I will translate his comments into English. Please go ahead, Mr. Chen.
谢谢 Sebastian。各位早上好，感谢大家参加今天的电话会议。
Thank you, Sebastian. Good morning and good evening to everyone, and thank you for joining us today.
本季度组件出货量2374兆瓦，上月季指引上 线，收入$9.68亿，环比减少19%，同比增长20.4%。由于进一步降低了成 本，并削减了 OEM，毛利率从上季度的10.5%回升至12%。
Module shipment exceeded the high end of our guidance during the quarter, coming in at 2,374 MW with a total revenue of $954.8 million, a decrease of 19% sequentially and an increase of 20.4% from the third quarter of 2016. Gross margin, which rebounded to 12% from 10.5% of last quarter as a result of cost-cutting measures and reducing the usage of the OEM manufacturers.
本季度虽然面临原材料成本上涨的挑 战， 但公司的毛利率和运营利润都有所上升。净利润由于美元下跌导致的汇兑损失而有所下滑。展望四季 度， 净利润有提升的空间。
Although facing the challenge of rising material costs, our gross margin rate and net income from the operation both increased in Q3. However, net profits decreased sequentially, mainly because of the depreciation of the U.S. dollar and related exchange losses. Looking towards Q4, we see net profits have room to improve.
三季度国内需求仍保持强 劲， 丰富式需求对 6-3-0 后的国内市场形成了强有力的支撑。四季度势头仍将持 续， 预期今年丰富式将创造20GW以上的需求。美国市场方面，公司已评估了 ITC 提出的不同救济措施方 案， 仍在等待2021诉讼的最终结果。但无论最终结果如 何， 我们将找到最佳方 案， 并坚信美国太阳能市场的长期增长轨迹不会改变。欧洲市场需求回升明 显， 得益于平价上环在更多国家和地区普及。印度市场偏低的 PPA 价格和今年组件价格维持在高位所形成的落 差， 给今年印度市场的实际装机量带来了一定的挑战。但印度市场仍保持快速发 展， 并在逐步取代日本成为第三大太阳能市场。新兴市场需求持续增 长， 澳大利亚、约旦、埃及、墨西哥和巴西的市场崛起已不可阻挡。沙特阿拉伯、阿联酋、阿根廷等新兴市场的需求也在迅速成长。随着太阳能系统成本的迅速下降，以及政府机构在推动绿色能源和组织电力竞标等方面的经验直接丰 富， 新兴市场已显示出可持续性和长期发展的潜力。 公司将继续扩大服务团队，提升品牌形象，以加强我们在各个市场的领导地位。
Demand in China remained strong during the quarter. The post-COVID insurgent market in China has been firmly supported by the digital market, which is expected to create over 20 gigawatts of demand this year, with strong growth momentum carrying into Q4. Turning to the U.S., after evaluating the different remedy recommendations from the ITC, we are still awaiting for the final decision on the 201 petition. Regardless of what the final result is, we strongly believe in the U.S. solar market's long-term growth trajectory, and we'll work out the best solution accordingly. Demand in European markets show signs of an upturn as the effects of electricity parity sinks in for more countries and regions. The gap between low PPA prices and moderate P remains stable this year have created some challenges in Indian market. But this market is still growing fast and is gradually replacing Japan to become the third largest solar market. Demand in new emerging markets continue to grow. The Australian, Jordanian, Egyptian, Mexican, and Brazilian markets are all thriving. Demand in Saudi Arabia, the UAE, Argentina, and other new markets also picking up quickly. The sustainable long-term development of emerging markets has greatly improved as the solar system costs rapidly drops, and regulators have more experience in promoting green energy and organizing electricity auctions. We will continue to strengthen our leading position in various markets by expanding our service teams and enhancing our brand image.
展望2018年全球太阳能市场，我们仍对行业需求保持乐观，特别是今年占据全球市场50%的中国市场，正由大型地面电站主导的市场向分布式市场过渡。最近立即出台的政策向分布式倾斜，旨在确保转型的顺利和健康，同时创造更多的市场机会。全球太阳能行业一直面临贸易壁垒、关税、供求失衡、资本开支等一系列挑战。2018年亦是如此，但随着平价上网的深入和普及，储能技术的飞速发展，以及能源互联网和智慧能源时代的来临，太阳能行业的光明前景毋庸置疑。2018年上半年，公司的订单可见度已达到50%。
Looking into 2018 market, we're still optimistic that global demand will be strong. The Chinese market, which accounts for almost 50% of the global demand this year, is transitioning from a utility-dominated market to a DG-driven market. The recent intense introduction of policies that favor DG projects aim to make sure this transition is smooth and could create more market opportunities. The global industry will face challenges in 2018, as it always does, with the trade barriers, tariffs, supply-demand imbalance, capital expenses, and etc. But the future of solar industry has never been brighter, with grid parity approaching, the rapid development of storage technology, and the emergence of the era of energy internet and smart energy. For 2018, we already have good visibility into the first half, with approximately half of our order book already filled.
技术方面，公司不断优化单晶硅片成本结构，并正在全面升级改造金刚线切割多晶硅片的产线，预计将在下个季度全部改造完成。同时，我们将增加黑硅电池产能，以配合金刚线切割多晶硅片的产出。公司技术团队持续在半片技术和 N 型双面电池技术方向发力。我们的半片技术已处于行业领先水平，特别是在结合其他高效技术、功率输出以及可靠性等方面。其他新技术的研发也取得令人振奋的进步，例如我们基于后者技术的电池实验室功率已达到23.5%，并计划在下一步投入量产。公司将在创新且高效太阳能技术持续投入资源，以巩固公司在市场上的技术领导地位。
On the technology front, we're on track with the optimization of our mono wafer costs and upgrading diamond wire cutting to our multi-wafer production lines, which are expected to be fully completed next quarter. We will also increase our black silicon cell capacity accordingly for more diamond wire cuts multi-wafer output. Our tech team continues to make solid progress in developing half-cell and bifacial N-type cells technologies. Our healthcare technologies are leading the industry, especially in terms of combination to other high-efficiency technologies and performance such as power output and reliability. We also made progress in developing new technologies such as hydroxide thin film, or HOT, which reached 23.5% cell efficiency in lab, and we plan to develop mass production lines based on it as a next step. Overall, we will continue to allocate resources towards innovating new and high-efficiency solar technologies and strengthen our leading position in the market.
产能方面，公司的硅片、电子件和组件的内部产能，三季度末分别达到7G瓦、4.5G瓦和8G瓦。我们预计年底产能将达到7.5G瓦、5G瓦和8G瓦，其中大约有3.5G瓦的单晶硅片产能，以及2.5G瓦的薄荷电子产能。展望2018年，将与单晶市场份额的持续扩大，公司计划持续增加单晶硅片产能。我们将对市场的发展进行持续评估，以定夺公司的组件产能和薄荷电池产能。公司对产能扩充保持一贯的谨慎态度，并力求保持产能的灵活度。
Turning to the manufacturing capacity, our internal wafer cell and module capacity reached 7 gigawatts, 4.5 gigawatts, and 8 gigawatts respectively at the end of third quarter. We expect it to reach 7.5.5 and 8 gigawatts respectively by the end of the year, of which approximately 3.5 gigawatts will be mono wafer and approximately 2.5 gigawatts will be PERC cells. Looking into 2018, we plan to further increase mono wafer capacity as the market develops, and we also evaluate options to increase our module capacity and the PERC cell capacity depending on how the market evolves. We remain cautious about expanding our manufacturing capacity.And maintain our flexibility.
话题交给 Dennis 之前，我来介绍一下业绩指引。据当前的预期，2017年第四季度公司组件出货量在2.3到2.5G瓦之间。同时，我们相应提升了2017年全年组件出货量指引，是9.6至9.8G瓦。
Before turning the call over to Gina, I will quickly go over the guidance. Based on the current estimates, total module shipments will be in the range of 2.3 to 2.5 gigawatts for the fourth quarter, and we increase our four-year guidance to 9.6 to 9.8 gigawatts accordingly.
谢谢 Sebastian. 接下来我们现在将话题交给 Jenna.
Thank you, Sebastian. With that, I will turn it over to Jenna.
Thank you, Ms. Chen. I'm happy to report another great quarter of sales result in which we shipped a total of 2,374 megawatts of solar modules, which exceeded the high end of our guidance. As Ms. Chen just discussed, we remain optimistic about the global demand in 2018, with already approximately 50% order visibility for the first half of next year. 2018 will still be competitive, but I'm confident that we are well prepared for it. First, let's look at our geographic distribution of our module shipment in this quarter. China is still our biggest market share, with approximately one-third of the total shipment. The new emerging markets came as the second, and the next one is North America. The Asia-Pacific, European, and Indian market followed. China remained our largest market during the quarter, where ASPs kept stable following the June 30th cutoff.Although it's hard to claim that Chinese market will be even stronger in 2018, which depends largely on a number of factors and policies, we expect overall Chinese demand in 2018 to remain solid as the market shifts from utility-scale projects to DG projects and poverty alleviation projects. The government is determined to make this transfer smooth and healthy.For example, the issuance of distributed generation market trading pilots policy, if landed, could largely resolve the lack of power consumption of DG and issues of transmission charges to the grid, the two biggest problems in DG market. We have been optimizing our sales teams and manufacturing capacities to meet the increasing strong demand from Chinese DG projects, while maintaining the flexibilities to adjust in the future. Outside China, the U.S. ITC issued 3 remedy recommendations for U.S. solar industry on October 31st. We have taken an active role in meetings organized by industry associations and feedback industry recommendations to the regulatory decision-making entities, while at the same time have prepared for possible outcomes from Section 201. Demand in U.S. next year, especially in the first half, may contract to some extent as some demand was released early in this year. But we expect that the U.S. market will recover quickly and continue to develop sustainably, generating an average of more than 10 gigawatt annual demand very soon. In Europe, grid parity is generating a lot of opportunity for us, not only in Spain, but in other regions with good solar radiation levels and high electricity rates. We expect that demand will go back-to-back upwards channel over the next 2 to 3 years. Turning to Asia-Pacific region, Australia is generating a lot of growth as more utility-scale projects are expected to become online over the next 5 years. At the same time, demand from Vietnam, Malaysia, Indonesia, and other regions is also increasing. Demand and ASPs in Japan remained relatively stable during the quarter, with 5 to 7 gigawatts total demand expected for the next year. India has gradually become the third largest PV market in the world. Because of the gap between the market price and the expected price of PPA, lots of IPP are choosing to wait and see, resulting in potential delays in some demand there. We expect India to become one of the main growth drivers for the global PV industry over the next 2 to 3 years as solar system cost continues to go down. Growth momentum in emerging markets continues to increase significantly. Jordan, Egypt, Mexico, and Brazil are expected to become gigawatt-level markets. Demand in Saudi Arabia, UAE, Argentina, and other regions is also picking up quickly. With the support of international financial institutions, more and more developing countries in Africa will also become further future growth drivers such as Ethiopia and Nigeria. We are really proud and happy to see solar energy become more and more affordable and begin to change people's lives. ASPs during this quarter were stable compared with last quarter. We expect that module prices maintained stable in last quarter of 2017, while ASPs in the first quarter of 2018 may decrease slightly, depending more on the price trend from China market as well as the cost of raw materials. In Q3, we continue to promote Jinko Solar's brand by attending various high-profile summits, industry conferences, and customer engagement activities. In September, we were invited to speak at the NICE BRICS Summit hosted in Xiamen, China. At the summit, representing the global renewable energy sector, we provided insight on how the BRICS nations can fulfill their Paris Climate Agreement commitments through further cooperation in trade and in renewable energy development. Events like this are not just to promote our brand, but also allow us to shape the global conversation on sustainable development. All in all, in Q3, we attended 9 trade shows and participated in 27 conferences. We also hosted 8 customer events, 37 customer trainings, and 41 co-marketing activities with key partners across the globe. These activities further strengthen our leading position as one of the world's strongest and most recognized solar brands. With that, I will turn it over to Charlie.
Thank you, Jeter. I'd like to walk you through our Q3 financial results. Total solar module shipments were 2.4 gigawatts, down 18% sequentially and up 48% year-over-year. Total revenue was $965 million, down 19% sequentially and up 20% year-over-year. Gross margin was 12% compared to 10.5% in the second quarter and 19.2% in Q3 2016. we continued to cut our blended cost to 33.5 cents per watt, compared to 34 cents in the second quarter. The operating expenses represented 10.6% of total revenue, compared to 9.5% in the second quarter and 11.1% in the third quarter 2016. EBITDA was $36 million, compared to $37 million in Q2 and $90 million in Q3 2016. Net income was $1.7 million. This translates into basic and diluted earnings of 4 cents per ADS. Non-GAAP net income was $3.9 million. This translates into non-GAAP basic and diluted earnings of 12 cents per ADS. Now, let's move to our balance sheet. By the end of Q3, cash equivalents, and restricted cash were $371 million compared to $280 million at the end of second quarter. Inventories were $788 million compared to $768 million at the end of Q2. The total debt was $1.2 billion compared to $1.1 billion at the end of Q2. The net debt was $824 million compared to $786 million at the end of Q2. The company's working capital was $78 million compared to $57 million at the end of Q2. At this moment, we are happy to take your questions. Operator.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will now take our first question from Mandeep Mandola from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hi, it's Mandeep Mandola from Credit Suisse. Thanks for taking the questions. Given we're already two-thirds into Q4 right now, can you talk about how Q4 gross margin is shaping up, given your visibility in ASPs and costs globally? And then I'll follow up.
We expect the gross margin to be stable. As talked by Jenner, the ASP, we're expecting the Q4 is quite stable. From the cost perspective, the polysilicon price is putting some pressures. However, we continue to cut our OEM volume as well as the improvement of in-house non-silicon costs. And we are also benefiting some slightly down for the solar cell price. So we expected the blended module cost in Q4 is stable compared to the Q3.
Thanks. And could you just talk about 2018, your expectations for how either ASP or cost should shape up in 2018? And just as a follow-up, on capacity expansions for next year, when do you think you would have a better visibility and announce more capacity expansion for next year? Thanks.
Sure. I'll take the capacity and I think cost target question, and Jenner is going to answer, shipment. And for the capacity expansion, the evaluation is still in the process. The capacity expansion is depending on the market demand as well as the potential results of the Section 201. And in principle, we are going to continue to invest on the high efficiency capacities. At the same time, we are going to maintain some flexibilities. And for the cost target, we think, we are going to announce in the Q4 next year. But, we are expecting a significant cost reduction, in 2018. From the multi-wafer side, we are converting the diamond well carding technology 100% in the first quarter. which will help to improve our, you know, multi-wafer cost. For the mono wafer, we are ramping up very quickly, and our target to be the, you know, the mono wafer cost leaders in the first half year 2018. So turn back to Jenner for the
assessment.
Yeah, so back to the market. We can see the 2018 market demand continues to be strong, and we have, given the current visibility of 2018 orders, we are pretty confident that 2018 will be another great year for the whole solar industry. However, from the ASP side, given the current key markets policy uncertainties, such as China feed-in tariff cut policy together with US 201 and also the Indian anti-dumping, there are still some headwinds bringing up some uncertainties, but we believe it should be bring more clarity in the next, let's say, 1 to 2 months, which will further strengthen the confidence for the 2018 demand. And one obvious market we have obvious is the booming of the emerging market. As I mentioned previously, that lots of new PV markets become gigawatt market in 2018, which are great news for the whole industry. Mahip?
Got it. Thanks.
We will now take our next question from Philippe Shen from Roth Capital Partners. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. This is Justin Clare. I'm on for Phil today. Thanks for taking our questions. So first off, in Q3, the margins improved sequentially to 12%. I was just wondering if you could give us a bit more detail on what drove the margin expansion and tell us what the mix of OEM shipments were in the quarter, as well as the mix of mono PERC shipments.
You know, in terms of shipment mix by products, the mono PERC is roughly, you know, 18% of total shipments. You know, 2.4 gigawatts, and for the improvement in gross margin, it's contributed by two parts. I think one is we cut the OEM volume in third quarter, and the OEM is roughly 20% in third quarter, which is in Q2, I think 40%. Second one is we continue to improve our in-house non-silicon cost for both multi-wafer, multi-module, and the mono-module, which, you know, also makes some contributions.
Okay, got it. And then just to get a better sense for it, can you share what the gross margins were for OEM shipments versus mono-PERC shipments versus your multi-shipments in Q3?
I think OEM, you know, the gross margin is lower than 4%. And for the mono PERC gross margin, and you can calculate from, you know, this perspective, in general, the mono PERC price is 10%, you know, to 15% higher than the multi. And the cost is higher than, you know, for the mono PERC is relatively higher than 5%. So, you know, you can do the calculation.
Okay, that's helpful. And then finally for me, I wanted to ask about the China market. You know, you've highlighted the strength of China in Q3, including the rapid growth of the DG segment. Can you share what your, you know, overall expectation is for China demand in 2018, and then how big you think the DG segment could be?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is China. For China market, we believe it will continue to be the number one market, not only for Jinko, but also for the whole solar industry. And this year, people, I believe, China market will will exceed 50 gigawatts, which is a historical high numbers. And for the 2018, at least from our side, we still believe it will be a 40-plus gigawatt market, let's say around 45 gigawatt. And the potential of DG projects are very high, given the great returns we have seen from the market, also as well as the government's support for the DG's, you know, the quota allocation or non-cap allocation, etc. So we believe that market will become very big. So you can imagine from Q3, if I remember it correctly, the quarterly installation for DG is almost 7 to 8 gigawatts per quarter. So if we take that as a peak time times the, you know, let's say it potentially could be like say 20 gigawatt plus only for DG, together with the government's support of the poverty alleviation projects, which will easily add up another 10 plus gigawatt. And also there are some top runner programs, etc. So adding everything up together, you will see the 40 gigawatt plus number will be very easy to reach.
Yes, generous points that 14 to 45 gigawatts is kind of a minimum or conservative number. So because the X factor definitely is the DG project.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, great. That's very helpful. I will pass it on.
Thank you.
We will now take our next question from John Segrich from Luminous. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thanks a lot for the question. I just wanted to confirm a couple things that you said. You said that ASP was flat sequentially, so does that mean 37.7? Is that the right compare that we should be using?
Yeah, that's very close. The change is less than 1%. So.
Okay. Would it be below that or above it, just so we're clear?
Well, I think it's just
stable. Almost the same.
Yeah, you just take the same.
Okay. And then I'm wondering, you know, every quarter in the past you guys have given specific breakouts of megawatts by geography. You know, this quarter you've given just general comments. Do you think you could walk through those with a little more specificity for us for modeling purposes?
I think from our point of view, we would like to help you, but given the current geography mix and the market competitions, we prefer to disclose more conservative information. But in general, we can comment that China takes approximately one-third, and followed by other markets such as emerging markets, also approximately, let's say, 25%-ish range. And followed by North America and Asia Pacific, both at 20% market. The rest will be the Europe.
Great. Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you. And then just last one, you had a big jump in related party revenue sales. Can you explain what they are and why that happened during the quarter?
For the related party, you know, sales transactions, it's composed of two parts. One is the Abu Dhabi projects. The projects is the total size is 1.2 gigawatts, and we hold 20% equity. So from the accounting perspective, we need to record this module shipments as related parties because we hold 20% equity. And another part is I think roughly 100 megawatts shipments to Jinko Power. Jinko Power has been spring off from Jinko Solar back to last year, but because of the same controlling shareholders, from the accounting perspective, it deemed as related party, but the transaction price is based on the market price.
Okay, and so for the Abu Dhabi sales, then is there some adjustment that comes through the income statement as well, backing out your 20% ownership?
You're right. We account 100% shipments, revenue, and gross margin. But from the net income perspective, we will adjust 20% for not to be excluded. So from the net income perspective, we just record the 80%.
Yeah, it's the same. It's
just
the same methodology, Canadian Solar Accord.
Yeah.
Yep. No, exactly. And can you just remind us how much you invested in the Abu Dhabi?
Total investment are roughly, I think, $50 million.
$50 million. Okay. And you intend to sell them the 1.2 gigawatts, right? Okay. Great. Thanks.
Yes, you're right. You're right.
As a reminder to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We will now take our next question from Brad Merkel from Coker Palmer Institutional. Please go ahead.
Hey, good evening, guys. Brad Merkel, how are you?
Hi, Brad.
Can we just talk about free cash flow? Yeah, thanks. Just thinking about free cash flow. Do you, you know, I think the firm's burned cash 11 in the last 12 years as a public company, and is going to burn, you know, I don't know, a couple hundred million this year and next year, and maybe free cash flow positive in 2019. Can you talk a little bit about what your plan is for sustained, you know, free cash flows? I think stock trades at a low multiple, you know, because of the market perception that you're really never going to be free cash flow positive. So can you speak to what the plan is there?
Yeah. I think, you know, this year the free cash flow difference should be negative because, you know, we are investing the mono wafer, you know, per capacities. And the next year, depending on our capacity, you know, expansion plan. So, you know, we did, you know, have a plan. We want to reach the free cash flow positive, but it's going to be, you know, depending on the market demand, our capacity expansion plan, and, you know, a couple of things.
Yes, Brad, this is Sebastian. So next year, we still, it's too early to make a claim that our free cash flow will be negative, I think. So definitely, like Charlie said, we're trying our best to make a positive free cash flow. But so far, especially at current time, we don't have a specific plan to the cash flow plan.
Yeah, I say that from the perspective of having a positive view on the industry, and I mean, this year the demand has come in 15 gigawatts above where anyone thought it was going to be, probably, and, you know, strong demand from China, and pricing's higher in the second half, and you know, there's still not a lot of, you know, free cash flows despite some positive developments. So I guess that the question I think investors are asking is, you know, polysilicon prices have rebounded from, you know, 13 to 17 or 19 or so. And, you know, at what point does the more balanced supply-demand environment translate to, you know, profitability and you know, pricing power on a longer-term basis? I mean, do you think that the excessive margin in wafers being seen currently will translate downstream at all, or what's your view?
Yeah, I think you're right. And this year, because of, you know, the strong demand and the supply shortage for the polysilicon, and not only polysilicon, you know, some, you know, our suppliers, they are enjoying higher gross margins, and we believe it's not sustainable. And looking for to next year, I think the profitabilities and even you are talking about cash flows will, you know, shift you know, to the you know, the wafer sale and module makers.
Okay, thank you. I guess the last question is, can you talk a little bit more about what you're seeing in emerging markets? Obviously, there's a lot of project announcements. And, you know, what do you think will translate into real new markets next year? Thank you.
Yeah, this is Jenna. For emerging market, surprisingly, we have seen the Middle East region, let's say Africa, together with Latin America, has, as well as you know, Southeast Asia region, has a lot of projects coming up online. Maybe you have seen a lot of announcements from Egypt, UAE, Saudi Arabia, and even Indonesia, especially Australia. Together with the Latin American countries like Mexico and Brazil, Argentina, even Chile. So those markets adding up together, I think it will take more than, let's say, 30%, close to 40% of the demand for the next 2 to 3 years' time. So we value the emerging market demand will become a very important market for JinkoSolar together with the industry.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for a moment to allow everyone to sit. As there are no further questions in the queue, I would like to turn the call back to Sebastian Liu for any closing or additional remarks.
On behalf of the entire Solar, JinkoSolar's management team, I want to thank you for joining us today. If you have any further questions or concerns, please feel free to contact us. Have a good day and good evening. Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. Ladies and gentlemen, you may now disconnect.